Yeah, last week we had our Bible study, and we were, you know, talking about different things, and it was the day before that the Lord laid this message on my heart. And the Lord wanted me to share this message today because it's an encouragement to the body of Christ. Because sometimes as we're walking this walk with the Lord, and we're doing what we know to do, and we're sensitive to the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit, sometimes it gets discouraging. It looks like we're not exactly winning the battle, you know. So today, this was put on my heart, God, I said, okay, where do you want me to go with this, Lord? And it wasn't the next day that the Lord, you know, showed me this. So this morning, I have a question to ask you. What kind of rewards will believers receive in heaven? What kind of rewards will we receive in heaven? You know, some of us might be thinking this morning, hey, I'm just glad to be up there. I don't need a reward. I'm just glad I'm there. Amen? So, and again, like I've said before, and I'll say it again this morning, there's going to be times, well, when we get to heaven, we're going to see people we would have never thought or dreamt that would be there. Or we're going to be looking for some people that aren't going to be there that we thought should be there. But again, we're going to be just so thankful, you know, it's just more frosting on the cake, I guess you could say, if we're getting a reward or an award when we come to heaven, because we're just happy to be able to walk through the gates. Amen? So, but according to Scripture, rewards will be given out in heaven for our faithfulness at the judgment seat of Christ. So what kind of awards would they be? Well, the Bible specifically talks about crowns. For example, there are the crowns of rejoicing. And it's also called the soul winner's crown. Okay, and we've heard about that, the soul winner's crown. Probably some of you have never heard of the crown of rejoicing, but it's one and the same. It says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19, Paul writes, after all, what gives us hope and joy, and what will be our proud reward and crown as we stand before our Lord Jesus when he returns? Okay, so what the scripture is saying, or what Paul is saying here, is that the people that Paul reached while serving the Lord by sharing the gospel, those are going to be his crowns of rejoicing. Okay? That's what he's talking about here. So if we have led others to know Christ, then we will receive that same crown of rejoicing, or that soul winner's crown. Now you say, well, wait a minute, Pastor Bonnie, I don't believe I've ever had somebody actually, you know, I might have said something about Jesus, or I might have, you know, gave my testimony, but they didn't necessarily accept Christ right there on the spot. But the point being this, you shared about Christ. You opened the door. You laid or planted a seed. So you will receive a crown, the soul winner's crown. We'll get into that a little bit more. So the next one would be the crown of life. That one too is also mentioned in the Bible in James chapter 1, verse 12. It says, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trials, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. Okay, so how many of us can raise our hands and say, I've been through a few trials? Only one? Okay, pretty much probably 100% of us have been through some trials. And guess what? You're still here today. You're still confessing that Jesus is Lord and that God, you love God, your creator. So what's that say? That says that you are going to receive that crown of life. Okay? So, this crown is for those who have resisted temptation and persevered under trial. Now, that doesn't mean that you didn't, you know, some temptations, they kind of overcame you. Okay? But, you persevered under trials. But, during those times of temptation, when you've weakened under that temptation, God says, okay, well, we'll just go around that mountain again until you get it right. Well, some of those times, I've gone around that mountain a good 10, 20 times. And I'm sure all of us can relate to that because we wanted to do it our way. We wanted to do it our way. So, but that's what that crown of life does. Once we learn Even though we have to go around that mountain a number of times, we finally catch on. We finally get it. And then that's when God says, you receive that. You receive that crown. You persevered. Even though you had to go around that mountain, you continued to persevere. So, we know that there are some people, how many of us can relate to some of those people that had a silver spoon in their mouth when they were born? We know that there are some like that. Or some of those who, you know, skate through life relatively unscathed. But, on the other hand, there's others of us that have had difficulties, but still remain faithful during those times of testing and trials. Despite the setbacks, you know, despite the hardships, the disabilities, the illnesses that you've coped with or dealt with over the years, as believers, we continue to honor God. We are here receiving God's word, drawing closer to Him in fellowship and worship and praising Him. Even though our bodies, you know, tell us in the morning, oh, you don't want to get up, you're hurting too bad, or, you know, you didn't get enough sleep or whatever, you're here today. You're here today. You're persevering. So, here's a good example of that. And I don't want to give too many examples because our time is kind of limited this morning. I'm going to say his name, Wojtek. It's a Syrian name, I guess. He has a project that God has laid on his heart. It's called Life Without Limbs. Now, Nick was born without arms and without legs. And at 10 or 11 years old, he tried to commit suicide. He tried to drown himself in a bathtub. And as he's laying under the water, God deals with him and says, what are you, how are your parents, how are they, they're going to grieve so much because you don't want to deal with this. And he reassures Nick that he is going to help him through his life. And he comes up out of the water. And from that moment on, he started serving God. Now, this man goes all over the world. And you ready for this? This man is married. He's had, I think, 3 or 4 children now. And he's an inspirational speaker. And he's got a very good sense of humor. He uses the fact that he has no limbs. He uses it, uses it with his sense of humor. But the point being is, he did not let... Once he accepted Christ, he does not let that disability stop him from what God's called him to do. And you can follow him on Google. All you have to do is look him up, Life Without Limbs, and it'll take you right to his testimony. And it's an amazing testimony. The next one would be the crown of righteousness. Paul mentions this in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. It says, now the prize, and we've all heard this scripture, and now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. And the prize is not just for me. The prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing. Who's appearing? The appearing of Christ in his second coming. How many of us are ready to see and want the second coming of Christ? We're anticipating. We're excited. Yes, we're all excited, but we're always saying, well, wait a minute. We want you to come, but yet we don't want you to come because I know some people in my family that need to be saved yet. So it's kind of tug of a war. But yet in our hearts, we know that we desire the return of Christ. So again, that brings us to that crown of righteousness. So this crown is for faithful living. It's a crown for those who long for the return of Christ and for those who live in the light of Christ, live in the light of heaven. So as we think about life, you might ask yourself, I love this, you might say to yourself, well, I haven't reached thousands like Billy Graham or like, another pastor I know that's probably, changed the lives of hundreds and hundreds of people. I'm lucky if I shared Christ with 10 or 20 people. But wait. If you know Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you didn't, you wouldn't be here this morning. But if you've told just one person, think about this, that one person might be telling 20 other people down the road. I've been praying for a grandson of mine for a long time, and he's still doing his thing. But you know what? I might not even see it in my lifetime. But God promised. God promised he would take care of it. And whether I'm here or not, it's still going to happen. And the thing is, you've got to realize that whatever little seed that you planted in one person, either just telling your testimony or the fact that you are a Christian and that you're walking it out and you share just enough to get their curiosity, just enough. What you did, you planted one seed. But that one seed, when it bears fruit, it just doesn't bring up one tomato seed just doesn't bring up one tomato. It brings up a number of tomatoes. And if you keep pulling the harvest, they'll keep bringing more tomatoes. And the thing is, what I tell you this for is so that you realize that even if you've told one person, that generations down the road, that when that person that you shared the gospel with, they tell 20 other people, or let's say you told one person and their children were raised in the things of God. And then they grow up and they have children and they're raised in the things of God. And they bear fruit. You get to be a part of that. You get to be, you had a part to play in that. If it wasn't for you, these children might not have gotten to know Christ as their Lord and Savior. It was that seed that you planted decades and decades ago that made it possible for this family to grow and have a family that walk in with Christ. Okay? And the great thing is like children's church or a kids club, that seed that we plant in them, and some of you have been in kids club. How many of you grew up, raise your hands, how many of you grew up in this church as a child and received the message of Christ? Okay, so there's some of you, okay, there you go. Some of you know that here you are today. And how many lives have you touched since you were here as a child? And knowing that we as spiritual leaders get to be able to make a difference in these children's lives, and that the seeds that will be sown over the decades, we're not going to see it, are we, Mary? We're not going to see that. But that's not what's important. What's important is that the seed has been sown, and that God is going to multiply that seed. Just like he multiplies our tithes and offerings, he's going to multiply that seed. So, all the spiritual fruit that goes from one generation to the next generation come back to you. You get part of that reward. Wow. So don't sit there and think, well, I only, maybe told a few people. You know what? Think about that. If anything, that should inspire you to say, hey, I want to get out there and do some more because, I've already got a good start. Let's keep driving forward with this. Let's add more to it. So the next one is the crown of glory, 1 Peter 5:4. It says, when the chief shepherd appears, you'll receive a crown of glory that never fades away. Did you hear that? A crown of glory that never fades away. That's out of 1 Peter. It's a crown that will be given to the shepherds of God's people, which such as pastors, elders, deacons, Sunday school teachers, ministry team leaders, inspirational leadership. Those that are in some form of inspirational leadership, they'll receive a crown of glory. In Matthew 9, verses 37, 38, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Be on your knees and pray for the harvest hands. In other words, we need to pray for more people that want to get out there and be spiritual leaders and get out there. Mike, who had come here to interview for this position years ago, he took a huge cross, probably about the half length of this stage, and he went from one county to the other. When he got back from Rhema, we both graduated the same year, and he was so on fire for the Lord that he literally walked through counties with the cross like Arthur Blessed did. And that was his way of, sharing the gospel. And he definitely sure got a lot of attention, I'll tell you that. So Victor's Crown is the next one. It is called the incorruptible crown or the imperishable crown, because this crown will last through eternity. It lasts through eternity. 1 Corinthians 9, the English translation says, Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath. Okay, so in the world, when you do something, you're going to get a trophy. But that's going to rust, or it's going to wither, or it's going to, you know, it's not, it's going to decay. Okay, but we, talking about you and I, Paul's talking about himself, but we, an imperishable crown is what he's talking about. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and I keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. So in other words, he's practicing what he's preaching. He's practicing what he's preaching. So serving God involves narrowing our focus on the things that are more important, such as the highest eternal values of things, okay? Not the worldly things. And we know that the things, there are a lot of good things in this world that we, you know, want to get our hands on and we want to enjoy. But ask yourself, do these things take your focus off the things that God has for you to do? If they do, you either discipline yourself to realize that they are just, there's a blessing to us from God, because he said, I not only want to meet your needs, I want to give you the desires of your heart. But remember, we have to discipline ourselves with those things. I need to practice on my cappuccinos because I love my cappuccinos, and I need to discipline myself on that. It might be not a big deal to some people, but to me it's a big deal, and I need to discipline myself with it. But it goes on to say it is up to us to identify and to choose accordingly and discipline ourselves so that we can receive that victor's crown by making God our first priority. So, and the Lord just put on my heart, he says, well, Ronnie, at least you're not drinking liquor, so I guess that's not so bad, having cappuccinos. But anyway, God calls some people to the mission field as they sacrifice what seems to be normal and comfortable and share the gospel in other parts of the world where the land and the customs are unfamiliar to them. I had a list here of people whose lives were drastically changed, and I'm going to throw the names out at you. Jim Caviezel, who played Christ in The Passion. His life did a 360 after playing this role. And now he's shunned by Hollywood because he believes in Christ and he's not ashamed of the gospel. But he is shunned by Hollywood, which is really no great loss, right? And we talked a couple of weeks ago about Alice Cooper. We saw that on, I saw it on Facebook that he did, sang, what do you call it, rock music, acid rock or whatever you call it. He had issues with drugs, but just about two or three days ago, I pull up an interview with him and Greg Laurie, who is a pastor. He actually helped put the story together for Jesus Revolution, okay? That's who that guy is, Greg Laurie. And he does an interview with Alice Cooper, and he asks Alice Cooper, he says, what brought you to Christ? And he goes, well, some people would think that it was the love of Christ. He goes, and it was. But he said, literally, he said, I got the hell scared out of me. It's just, that's exactly how he said it. And what he did was he went on to say that his wife had left him, and he was standing in front of the mirror, and when he used to sing before, you know, in the world, he would dress gothic-like, and he would have, you know, paint on his face, and, you know, but this particular time, he says, I don't know whether I was hallucinating with the drugs or whether God gave me a vision, but he said, I look in the mirror and I've literally got blood pouring down out of my eye. And he said, when I saw that, he said, it gave me such a rude awakening because it made me realize I was going to hell. My lifestyle, the way I was living, I was going to hell. He said, I immediately flushed everything that I had down the toilet. I called my wife and said, we're going back to church. She goes, yeah, I'll believe it when I see it, because she had heard it before. But then he stepped out, and he literally, their whole life is totally changed. So he goes around, and now he's an inspirational. But he has to walk the talk, you know, walk the talk that he's doing. He has to walk it. Again, Kirk Cameron, how many times have we seen him on Growing Pains? He quit doing that show because it was not moral in some respects. So he quit playing that role. And then Candace Cameron, his sister, both of them are now very active inspirational singer. She is an actor. She used to play DJ on Full House. She does movies now. She's still acting, but it's clean music, family movies, family program. And she, you know, God uses people like that. We talked about Tim Tebow the other day, who is a former football player. He's a sports broadcaster now, but he too is being shunned because of his faith in Christ Jesus. But guess what? He's not losing any sleep over it. In fact, God has him doing what he calls, I wrote it down here, a foundation which provides physical and spiritual care for children who have been abandoned by their parents, who are homeless. This organization that he's put together does a work for Christ. Lastly, before I close, there's this couple that I shared about, maybe 6 months ago, about this couple who were doctors. They both were doctors. I think they were either from Champaign or Chicago or Peoria. And the reason I heard this story, it was put on the radio on WBGL, a Christian programming station called The Unfolding. And they did it about a year ago. They did an interview with this couple. His name is Mike. Her name is Shauna Ray Muzinich. And they were doctors, very well-known doctors, radiologists. And they had a beautiful home. They had beautiful cars. They had four children. They had everything that anybody could ever desire, but their marriage was falling apart. They couldn't say, for 10 years, literally for 10 years, they had nothing good to say to each other. They just, the more they stayed apart from each other, the happier they were. They did this for over 10 years. And then finally one day, they came into an encounter with Christ. And when they did, it totally gave their marriage a 360 because they didn't even believe in God. But they had this encounter with Christ. And the great thing is, from that experience with Christ, not only did it change their life, but listen to this. In August of 2022, they were preparing to be medical missionaries to Kenya. To Kenya. They were leaving the luxury of their home. They sold their home. They sold their cars. They took their children, and they moved to Kenya. And what the medical area that they were going to was at first just a clinic, but since probably the last 10 years, it turned into a hospital. And that's where they're going to stay until God tells them otherwise. And they deal with challenges. They have dealt with many challenges. But I share this story not because they're saying, oh boy, we're going to get a crown when we get to heaven. No, they did it because they had a right heart. Because God gave them the gift to have the degree that they have. But they are going to use that degree to give glory and honor to God. So when we listen to this story today, let's not stay focused on the fact that when we get to heaven, we're going to receive these rewards. Yes, we should pursue them. But we don't get our focus on that. What we get our focus on is what God has put in us the desire to do. You know, to will and to work and to will in us. That's the scripture that the kids are learning this past week. And what that means is first is we realize that we have a work to do, but then that God also gives us the will to do it. And that's what he did to this couple. He gave them the will to step out and trust God. Because that's a big leap of faith to leave what they had, all these material things. And they had, they were well known and they were settled in the medical field where they were at. They were comfortable where they were. But yet when God changed their put their marriage back together and changed their lives, they felt like we've got to do more. That we've got to do more for Christ. We've got to do more. And they share one story before I close. One story, enormous. I had to hear it twice because it was so wow, mind-boggling. That this group of people came from Canada, and whether they were part of the mission group or a mission trip, I'm not sure. But they came from Canada and they came to Kenya to see this hospital. And they said while they were there, they said, is there anything that we can do? We can't give money, but we can do something. And they said, well, we can't think of anything right now. But the next day, as these two doctors were in the hospital, a gentleman came in, and he's dying. And he needed type O blood. Type O blood. Now, no, they couldn't find anybody in the area. Now, this guy's going to die. And I don't know whether the wife thought of it or the husband thought of it, but they said, well, this is a long shot, but we're going to call this missionary group that came. They were ready to leave. They were going to go back to the to Canada. They called them, and it was 7 or 8 of them. Are you ready for this? Every one of those had type O blood. Every one of them. Not one, not two. Every one of them had type O blood. When you see that kind of thing happening, what's that tell you? That's got to only be God. There is no other way to explain that is a God thing. I share this story with you this morning simply for this reason. That when you think, some of this stuff, Pastor Bonnie, is out of my reach. There's no way I could, you know, work for that crown. That's talking about inspirational leadership. I don't think I could do that. Maybe God hasn't called you to do that. But if he has, get out of that comfortable zone. Step out of that comfort zone like they did. Step out and say, okay, God, I've stepped out of my comfort zone that I really want to hang on to. I've stepped out of it. But I know, God, that when I step out of that comfort zone, you're going to be there for me. You're going to save me so that I don't fall, that I don't fail, that I'm going to trust you in it. That's what this family did. They trusted God in it. So in closing, the crown of rejoicing is a soul winner's crown. The crown of life is for those who patiently endure testing and temptation and trials and disabilities and hardship. The crown of righteousness is for faithful living for those who long for the return of Christ. And the victor's crown is for enduring faithfully as we serve Christ our Lord. And the crown of glory is given for those who are faithful shepherds, leaders, teachers, and pastors. Amen? How many of us want to receive a reward when we go to heaven? All of us. Amen? Every one of us do. Yes, we're going to be thankful just to get into the gates. But God's always going to overflow with our blessings. He's always going to do that. So let's go ahead and close with prayer. Father, thank you that you have made us your children. And today, Father, we ask you to place your crown of love upon us, your tender mercies upon us, your glory, your honor upon us. That God kind of love that only you, Father, can give, that true and faithful and kind and forever patient and steadfast kind of love. That we wear this love like a crown. And that the jewels on this crown of love, that they sparkle to all of those that are around us. That it draws others to us. It draws them to us so that we can tell them about you, and then it draws them to you. That it comforts those that are in grief, Lord. That it encourages those that feel hopeless. And helps those that are in need of guidance and learning, Father. And Father, we do that only because you have placed within us the Holy Spirit. So, Father, help us to be sensitive to the leading and guiding of Holy Spirit as we trust in you.